It's Mail It In Friday, brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer.
I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Yeah, it's Mail It In Friday.
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
So what?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Big Leaf game last night, but I have to ask you guys a question. Steph, Mulls, you can feel free to chime in.
This is
something
for the panel?
That came to my
For everyone?
It came to my attention. I think it was Instagram, like Bleacher Report, and some girl was sitting behind a lady who was texting her side dude during a sporting event, baseball game.
I heard about this.
Okay. So what the girl did, she was with her friend. They wrote a note on a piece of paper, and when they got up to leave, they handed it to the guy and said, the girl you're with is texting another dude during the game. A friend of mine was at a Yankees game, and this is off the charts. The guy behind him saw the name on the phone, looked her up on Facebook and said, your dude is no good. Is that not the greasiest thing you've ever heard of in your life? Or does the person deserve it? I want to talk to Steph first. Any thoughts?
I think people should mind their own business, to be quite honest. Mind your business.
Yeah, I think that's probably the right answer.
Because how does she know it's a side dude? Is she zeroing in on the conversation?
I'm
word
pretty
for
sure.
Word?
I'm pretty sure when there's side pieces involved, the text messages are quite different.
Explicit.
Does the idiot boyfriend not see it? Like, if the people behind can see it, how can he not see her texting?
So I'm pretty sure people doing that type of business are on a side tilt.
They're probably discreet. Yeah, there's some tiltage going on. Or when the guy got up and went to the washroom or to get beers or whatever, that's maybe when the texting
came. Okay,
let
me ask you this. If someone had like an iPad out at a baseball game and me and you were in Cleveland and she was saying, hey, Johnny, Rick's being the loser that he is at the ball game. I can't wait to see you tomorrow. And we're going to do
whatever.
Roasted turkey stuff. Are you pulling the guy aside or no?
No, I wouldn't say anything.
Because you don't know if they're swingers. You don't know what's going on.
Well, that's another good point. And who's to say that I don't know. I don't want to blame the victim. Like, who knows? Who cares? I don't care what other people do with their life.
Yeah.
That's the real truth.
But it's like these people, they stop watching the sporting event and they're invested in the nonsense going on the cell phones.
Well, and I must admit, I could see that dragging me in. I mean, as you know, I would be quite interested in that, right? Wouldn't you? I might want to know the backstory. I would never look up some random person on Facebook and find out what their name is and send them a note.
My buddy was
like
at
that.
The Yankees game, and the guy behind him looked up the person he was texting, found that person on Facebook, and said, no.
But how are you supposed to know that? Like, if it was a generic name, like Brian Hayes, a very generic name, I'll bet you there's 5,000 Brian Hayeses on Facebook. How does he know he wrote the same guy or the right guy? How does he know that?
Who knows?
But if you were on the other end of it, would you want it or no?
You always want to know.
I think you'd want to know if you felt like something was going on. Yeah, I think you would appreciate that. You may not be ecstatic right in the moment, but over time you'd be like, all right, that was a good thing to know because then I can move on with my life.
But I agree with Steph. People should mind their own damn business.
Right.
Like, that's the last thing. Like, I don't know how many times I'm always polite with people, but, you know, You say thank you, none of your business, like move on.
Well, especially with something like this that will be life-altering.
Right.
And you don't know the context. You don't know the backstory. I don't know. My stance would be leave it alone. It's none of your business. It's not like you're perfect. Is anyone else perfect? Like, that's the best thing. The guy probably behind him's got three side chicks. He's probably Bartolo Colon himself.
And he's being a hero.
And
that's what I love being a professional athlete. All the grease balls from Bay Street, they would pipe into chicks' ears and they'd be like, oh, those athletes, you better watch out for them.
The Bay Street guys are worse.
They're the biggest creepazoids on earth.
Watch out for those hockey guys.
It was the
bad news. Yeah. What are you?
In Calgary, it was the oil and gas guys because there was so much money there.
Yeah, they invented side pieces.
Was that a big battle out there?
Yeah, but I mean, ultimately, people cared about athletes more than they did oil and gas people.
Well, I would think so. Women, I mean, the celebrity and all that kind of stuff.
But these guys were printing
money. That's why when we walked out, we looked back at the finance guys and just gave them the bird and said, we win.
You gave them the...
The double bird.
How do you like them apples?
That's exactly what we did.
The old Goodwill Hunting on the way out?
Yeah, the Goodwill Hunting.
Let's get to some hardcore Leaf talk. All right, sorry about that distraction.
We'll get to that in a moment, but you mentioned a baseball story, so we should bring this up. Not to anyone's surprise, the Jays are brutal right now, and Donaldson is confirmed to be on the DL. So Josh Donaldson is now on the DL. The team is 1-8. They can't hit.
It's not going good.
It's a disaster. And the fact
is it a mistake from the beginning, though? This was a problem in training camp. Like, it's tough to think. And I think about Brendan Shanahan, his position, or, you know, Lou, or guys in upper management. But is it difficult to sit yourself down and say, in training camp, this was an issue? To just say, Josh, we want no part of you until you are beyond 100%. And when you are, you're coming back 10 days after that. And it's almost like that's what they should have done. If you're, this is retrospective
analysis. Yeah, it is. But it's a topic that has been ongoing in sports for everyone forever, and everyone's got a stance on it. Right. My belief is, if the doctors clear you to play, and you want to play, you're a pro athlete, you should play.
I know, but there's no doctor that would have assessed that and said you're actually 100%. Like,
he must have got cleared by someone, right? He couldn't go rogue. Like, someone had to clear him and say,
by the way, you can be cleared and be 100%, which happens a bunch of times, and then stuff happens.
I hear you, and that's what's happened here, right? He got injured in Tampa.
Re-aggravation or something.
And it's one of those injuries, right? There's three or four injuries, groin injuries, calf injuries, hammies, that they just linger, right? They always linger. They always pop up again, and you could see it coming, right? The Rogers Center, we know what the turf is all about. The turf was the same thing down at the Trop. He did not start in ballparks that are conducive to having this kind of an injury, and he re-aggravated it. But it's easy to say, well, he should have missed the first 30 games until he was 100%.
Right.
I'm not going to hammer the team for saying, okay, you've been cleared and you want to play, so go out there and play.
Right.
But what I would say is, anyone suggesting, and everyone's having this conversation, too early to panic. Is it too early to panic? The fact that they were like, we could use you, probably speaks to their mentality. That this team, the fans cannot panic all they want. I'll guarantee you the team's panicking. 1-8, you're in panic mode. I don't care who you think you are.
Team as far as players, management?
Organization as a whole. You have to be. If you're a player in that room and you're 1-8 to start a year, I don't care that you play 162 games. How can you not have a bit of panic?
Yeah, now you're chasing it.
I think in hockey terms, it might be close to 2-19 or 2-.
I don't know the...
Figure it out. It's very easy to...
Just double it.
We're not going to play math on a Good Friday. We're not doing that today.
1-8 is 2-16.
Whatever it is.
And that means you're done.
If you're 2-16 to start the season in hockey.
It's not a good start.
Actually, it's half of that.
It's the opposite way. I was going to let you guys continue to sink.
It's half of that.
The point is, they can't hit, and now the guy who is their best hitter that has been hitting is on the DL, and who knows when he's going to return.
What I want to know, Brian, is just we always talk, like, you know, when we're doing our Sports Center hits or whatever, is there a big picture comment? Well, as far as the Jays go, is there a big picture comment? What if this is in the toilet? What happens here? Is it a fire sale? Is it ride it out and wait till next year?
Who gets?
They just signed Gibby to an extention. He's not going anywhere.
It's just money. But where's the pressure point? What gives? Like now, 1-8. You're right. Equivalent hockey. That's 0-4. Really, half game and four.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that big of a deal. It's still a little bit concerning. Level of concern is a six-pack to maybe a Mickey of vodka. But
I think they're definitely at a 12-pack right now.
Once you hit a certain level, they've got to decide what that is. What is the course of action? Like, what is it? a trade, a call up? Is it somebody gets benched? Like something has to give here, other than just the players playing better.
Well, we're talking about that outfielder from the Mets and maybe bringing him in there. But
how many trades are available to you the second week of the season?
Yeah, not much.
They're not there, and this is a team that they're trying to build up their farm system. They don't want to give away high-end draft picks or high-end prospects right now to fill a hole and to panic. And other managers, you know, other GMs are circling them right now thinking, okay, you're in panic mode. We'll try to rinse you on a bad trade. So I wouldn't be sitting here waiting for a trade to go down. I don't think you can. You got to wait for the bats to come alive. But here's the problem, too. They're the oldest team in baseball.
Right.
Now Donaldson's banged up. No one had them penciled in at like 100 wins. This isn't the Cubs starting like this where you could see them playing 650 baseball or whatever. They were going to kind of be in a fight anyway. So that's the problem. Like, I had them at mid-80s, high-80s wins and kind of pursuing a wild card spot.
Right.
You start 1-8.
It's an uphill battle to get there.
It makes it that much more difficult to get back on track.
I wonder how my philosophy, when I first started here, and I had to assess the Leafs, I'm like, I find it kind of weird how all their pillars in this organization are from different places. Phil, Dion, Jonathan Bernier, James Van Riemsdyk, they were all from like different places. Right. And if you look at the Jays, Josh Donaldson, Tulo,
Martin,
Russell Martin,
technically Bautista didn't.
Homegrown guys do we have here? I mean. And you wonder if just that idea of building an organization could ever work. I mean, they've come close. They made the playoffs 2 years in a row. But now there's...
But what is the expectation? This is what has kind of concerned me. With the offseason they had, is anybody saying World Series?
Well, I think the hope was there. I mean, you could sell yourself on a very good rotation.
Right.
A very good closer. Potentially a good bullpen, and some older guys with the bat in their hands, but that have a track record of putting up pretty good numbers.
Right.
Right? So, and once you get to the dance, then you play it out from there.
Right.
Right? Like, no one thought they were going to be the best team in baseball or even the best team in the American League, but enough track record there, enough data to support that they could get 90 wins and it wouldn't be unfathomable. Right, and then you're in, and then you try to win a few games, and you go on a bit of a run. I don't know. I think the expectations were probably lower than they were last year.
Right,
but they still made it to an ALCS a year ago. So, listen, it's a terrible start, 1-8. It's the worst start in franchise history. I don't care if you're not panicking. Right. I believe the team has to be behind closed doors, thinking this is a
garbage.
This is really bad.
It is.
Yeah, it's garbage.
It's a horrible start.
It's not good.
It's not good. Richard Griffin will join us around 5:35. We'll get Griff's take on Donaldson to the DL and how he thinks the team handled the injury and where they go from here. But obviously, big story in the city today, the Leafs coming off a heartbreaking loss in overtime.
They played good enough to win. And it's a team game. And we got our goalie guru right here. But Frederik Andersen on that one Justin Williams goal. You think about that game, Brian. They definitely played well enough to win. Did Washington at certain times during the game flex their muscles and they kind of showed what kind of team? Yeah, but they didn't do it the whole game. Right. Ovi invisible, Backstrom invisible. Justin Williams scored on a fan puck on a killed 5-on-3 and then ended up on Oshie's stick and it's in the, I don't know how they screwed that up. It's like, get it out. And then there's another one where the goalie stops it. He thinks it goes in the air and it's not. And then he pops it in again. And then he lets in a garbage goal in overtime. So if you think about the three goals that were scored against Toronto, they deserved, I'm not going to say they should have, they deserved and had every opportunity to win that game. And I don't think, and we talked about it yesterday on our panel hit, being optimistic might be a stretch, but they should have an understanding that they have every right to be in this series. And they can win a game. They can win two. You never know what happens after that because the goaltending, And the lucky breaks or bad breaks, that's the whole game last night.
But the goalie, I will say this in defense, the goalie's only reason why they make it to overtime because he made some great saves. But he allowed a bad goal in overtime.
I say two, Jamie.
Here's the problem that I have with that take. He was very good,
The but one where people, he's looking in the air, I don't know what that is.
How about a defenseman clear somebody out?
How many stops did Holtby make last night?
35.
That's a fair amount, is it not?
Yeah.
People are making it
did
like...
Did you like both goals, though, that Holtby allowed?
Didn't love them, but guess what? He shut it down after that.
Right.
And this is the problem that I have, and this always happens with the Leafs. Whenever they lose, it's like, well, Anderson stood on his head, but someone screwed him. No.
Right. No, Anderson needs to make that save.
Don't forget, Holtby made some big stops, too. And no one sits there and says, oh, well, it's not like the Leafs had 18 shots.
No, but tell me off the top of your head, what big stop that Holtby made when the game was on the line?
I thought he made a couple look easy that weren't that easy.
One on Marner. That's the one, the curl and drag, I thought was his best save of the night. And that was in the second period.
He made a couple of CNI glove stops as well.
But I will say this, other than that, there wasn't a ton of, like, Anderson had that one save, the couple saves where his leg was in the air, he was on the ground. But it's not like the Washington Capitals. And the biggest factor in this series was, how's this decor going to handle the offense? They weren't getting swarmed. They weren't getting peppered. It was one of those games where it was like possession in different areas of the ice.
I thought it was a missed opportunity last night. And I think if you look back, if they end up getting rinsed next game, they should have won that game last night.
They had to win that game.
They had to win.
They had to win that game.
That's my point. I'm not sitting here defending Frederik Andersen. I'm saying that that's a game that they should have won if Austin Matthews outplayed. Like, I thought he was really invisible last night.
See, I've heard a lot of people have that take. I thought he protected the puck well. I thought he played the board game pretty well last night.
Yeah, but that stuff, you should do that.
Okay,
that's expected.
All right, then like, apply that to Backstrom. Apply that
right,
to Ovechkin.
But that's,
because
they
did nothing either.
You're right. Star power canceled each other off. But what I'm saying is, what do we say going in? You needed Austin Matthews to go Austin Matthews all world, and you needed Frederik Andersen to be all world. He didn't, and neither did Austin Matthews. And guess what happened? They lost. That's what I believe.
Well, I agree with you, and I think...
I feel bad because I thought it was right there for them.
It was right there. It was right there. I mean, the second goal with Williams, optically it looked really bad. His explanation, I mean, Noodles, you can speak to that. He thought it was up in the screen. He thought it was up in the net.
He still got to track the puck better.
You have to. I mean, that was like a flip shot from the point that he somehow lost. But the fact of the matter is, you know, people are hammering Marinson for the overtime, and he got soft. Biga was chasing him. He should have gone back behind the net. But you got to give credit to Wilson. He blocked back on a stick.
As much as you have to rip that off the glass and break the guy's hand if he wants to grab it, it's not on him.
But you can't let that goal in.
That's not an absolutely horrendous goal.
Tom Wilson, I like the guy.
Right.
He's a good dude. He's got a career seven goals.
Like I said last night, it's a terrible goal. But if he doesn't make the save on Orpik and on 60 Burakovsky with his leg in the air, that's the game-winning goal.
Right, but again, Noodles, like I'll bet you if we went back on the tape and said, wow, Holtby, nice move. Wow, that was a lucky bounce.
Well, I do that because you can go through every shot on that and say, well, we're not even there.
I personally thought the Leafs were outchanced and outplayed the second half of the game.
I didn't see it the second half of the game. The third period, there's no question.
Wow.
I thought they played a brilliant road second period game. I really did. And then Freddie let in that bad goal on Williams, and then the tide turned pretty quickly. But I thought they played really well with a long change in the second period, holding on to a lead. And the thing is, I'll grant you in the third, but who was the dominant team in the first?
The bottom line,
we're
not talking about Freddie Anderson being the best player on the ice, and he stole the game.
Right.
We're talking about a garbage goal in overtime that cost him the game.
We're also
talking about a second goal where he's looking in the air, and it's just...
Well, that's not a good goal. That's what I said
last
night.
Day,
you're going to remember the goals. You're not going to remember the saves.
Yeah, but if he was the best player on the ice, we're talking about a W for the Leafs, mm-hmm. and we're not.
And that's a missed opportunity last night. And the team looked, in the first period, Washington looked like the scared team, and the Leafs looked confident. But once Justin Williams, it was almost when he got pissed off in that interview after the first period.
Yeah, he was pissed off.
Scott O. It was almost like he walked in that dressing room and said, like, get your head out of your asses. Because they were a lot better after that, the Caps.
Well, let's be honest. When you're playing an 8 seed, as young as the Leafs are, the lack of experience, and you talk about taking down the Washington Capitals, guess what would have to happen if they were ever going to shock the world and win a series?
Perfect games.
No. Who would be the guy?
It's Freddie Anderson. You can't allow bad goals. It's what Jake Allen did the night before.
But it's Austin Matthews, too. I didn't think he was very good last night. Like, you can't give that guy, as much as you love the guy, you can't just go, well, geez, he protected the puck down
that's
low.
Fine,
I'm talking
Noodles,
big picture, though. If they're ever going to win a series.
But we said into the game, we said yesterday on the show, how are they going to win this series? Auston Matthews goes all world and Freddie Anderson goes all world. That's how they're going to win. And neither one of them came up big last night.
I don't remember people focusing on Matthews the way that you're claiming people were focusing on him.
What was our poll question?
No, it wasn't.
What was the question where you said, how can Auston Matthews top his first experience?
Of course, that's a hypothetical question. Like, that's not saying that he has to do it. That was us asking when they scored four opening night, how could he possibly do that?
I'm just saying, like, you're it's just easy to let the kid off the hook.
But
you've said this before. Oh, you're not checking passports or driver's license when they play. Mitch Marner scores. He scores a big goal early on.
I thought the same thing about Ovechkin. But he was garbage last night too, and his team.
I'm
got
not
the
shifting
victory.
It away from Fredrik Andersen.
You are shifting it away because it was.
They
everyone
gave up
knows
44 shots on goal.
They had 37 Noodles.
It's great,
but
they
no one's
score.
Mentioning that.
They
but
didn't that, score.
But this is what's driving me nuts about everyone focusing on 44 shots and wow, Freddie was unbelievable. If they had 15 shots on the Caps, I'd say, man, you're so right. They had 37. On the Caps.
They were out-chanced.
And Holtby let in two.
And Anderson let in three. A bad one.
And two of them were horrible. And the one
they
in particular.
Horrible. The second one wasn't horrible.
The third one was atrocious.
The third one was bad. Yes.
Was borderline Taves 2 years ago.
I know. I thought you were going to come up with that.
You cannot have it. It's that easy. And it's true, though. It's
it
just
is.
The truth. And
but
I know just, the position, just like quarterbacks and pitchers.
It is.
It's a very difficult
I'm
position.
I'm not defending him. What
it's
I'm
a very
saying
unfair
is,
position.
Is they had an opportunity to win last night. And they pissed it away. And it's unfortunate because if you look back and they end up losing the series, that's one you're going to circle and say, Anderson needed to make that save in overtime.
Look, all of our
needed
jobs.
More from your top players.
All of our jobs is to kind of dictate what happened.
Right.
And in a loss, if there's multiple losses, there's going to be different people. And Auston Matthews, he's a 19-year-old kid, but we all agreed he scored 40 goals in the NHL. Right. Alex Ovechkin, he scored 50. He scored 60. He was junk last night, too, but his team got the victory. For Auston Matthews, the next game, if he's garbage again and they can't score, we're going to say, look, this guy's got to play better. But as far as last night, a lot's on the goaltender. Yeah. You can say what you want. Everybody can have their own opinion about the second
goal.
It's difficult being a goaltender. Nobody knows except him.
Well,
at the end of the day, though, when it's a wrister that comes in and it goes up in the air and you're looking for it and it goes in,
it's the
and he's right, too. How about a cross check in front of the net?
I hear you.
Knock a guy in his ass.
Where's William Nylander doing on that play?
Yeah, he was out to lunch, too.
That's the thing. The guys have to be responsible for their actions out there.
Ultimately, we're not talking about Freddie Anderson being the best guy on the because that's what it took.
He should have. If he was, they win the game last night.
That's right.
That's the truth.
And
that's the truth.
That's, again, like I said, the position. When there's a breakdown, can you look at the offensive line? Can you look at the route the wide receiver ran? Yes, you can. But more often than not, you say the quarterback threw a bad pass.
Absolutely.
And the pitcher threw a bad pitch.
I don't know how else to sum it up, but they played good enough to win.
They did. And that's a glass half full, is that they played really well. They were in a coin flip game.
If they had 15 shots in that, you'd be like,
let me put it this way. I'll take that over them losing 5-0 last night and getting outshot 42-12 and looking completely overwhelmed. They looked like they were ready to play last night.
And they were. They were prepared to play. What concerns me is Washington barely pissed a drop early on. And then they turned it on, and they're not going to make that mistake again. So you need Frederik Andersen to go all world.
Mm-hmm.
You need Auston Matthews and your top players to go all world in this next game, or the series could be over.
Well, and that's the truth when it comes to Freddie's situation. It's not that last night was easy. It wasn't. I mean, 44 shots is not inconsequential. That's a lot of rubber coming at you. But with that said, there's a chance the Caps play potentially better. At least their big boys do.
Right.
And I thought the Leafs top four performed probably as well as they could, at least for the first couple of periods.
The
and the
D?
Third, yes.
Yes,
like
absolutely.
I thought Riley, Gardner, I thought Hunwick played his best game as a Leaf last night.
For that really decor, good. They were... They
that's as good as you
that's
can
as
get.
That's as good as you can expect.
So that is your concern. Again, glass half empty is that's their best game and they still lost.
That was where I kept thinking. I was driving home last night from our panel hit and I kept thinking like, God, that's one when you look like that's one you had to have that game. It was right there for you. You had them, and I don't even care. The 2-0 lead, lead changes happen so much. It's right. So early in the game that if you lose that, like I know people are like, well, they gave up another lead. Well, if it was 2-0 late in the third and they pissed that away, then you're worried about it.
Very different story.
Early in the game, Washington was back on their heels because the Leafs respectfully showed no respect, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. They were there to
win. They were the better team in the first period because they were just loose and driving.
And I think that ultimately is a good sign for how they're going to play tomorrow night. No one knows how it's going to play out. No one knows if... Because Barry Trotz is playing the role. It's so typical of the
right.
number one seed. Oh, that better have been a wake-up call. Stop it. You won the game. Like, don't treat the other team like they're in house league. You got to give both teams credit for what they did.
Right.
The Caps pushed back. Holtby made some stops. Tom Wilson did what he did. But the Leafs also played a factor in shutting Ovechkin and Backstrom down and continuing to push and getting off right. to that hot start. They both performed well. I don't even know if you can use the term
push back. They got a lucky break on a 5-on-3, a kind of a weird second goal, and then a bad goal in overtime.
Right.
Well, that's the truth. Like, we all love Justin Williams. You love him personally. He's been on the show.
But he can go to hell.
No, but it's not about that. It's like...
I texted him last night. I said, good game. He's like, thanks. I'm like, I wanted to say, screw you.
But here's the truth, though. And he deserves a reputation. He's Mr. Game 7. He's won cups. He's put up points. The second goal, the janitor could have come out with a pool cue and got on the ice and tapped that in.
Yeah.
It's not like Williams went end-to-end and top shelf.
No,
like
but what
Freddie
he did
lost
do,
the puck.
But what he did do was go hard to the blue paint. And what happened was Freddie loses the puck and nobody's there to knock Williams down. Like, that's a systematic problem. When a guy is 5 feet away from him and turns away from his own net.
Right.
Like that's an issue for me.
That's going to happen, though. Like, that's... The problem is, you know, would it be great if someone could play a perfect game?
No,
yes, it would
right,
also be
right.
the first time in the history of sports it actually happened.
Exactly.
Because
like you can't nitpick.
You can counter both ways. There were breakdowns by the Caps, too, where you're like, whoa, how did that, like, on that late 2-on-1 in the third, I have no idea how Marner and JVR got out alone there on a wraparound around the boards, but
right.
they did. That was a defensive breakdown. But anyway, listen, 3-2 in overtime. It was a coin flip.
Would you have signed off on overtime? At the
no.
start of the show?
No,
we said
yesterday.
Yes.
I thought we did
before
say
the game.
That.
I said absolutely. Listen, I'll take it tomorrow. If you could sign me up right now for overtime tomorrow and it's a coin flip.
But it's a coin flip right into it. Not losing in overtime. One goal takes it home
yes.
tomorrow.
I'll
you would sign up for
I
that?
I would sign off on overtime right now.
I
another
would
coin
too.
Flip and hopefully a lucky bounce. And
personally,
it's 1-1.
I would sign up for overtime tomorrow because you know that the fortunes could go the other way. Easily.
Exactly. Exactly. Everyone else is
okay?
off today.
We're
in here.
Well, we're all good.
Listen, you knew this is the beauty of the playoffs.
By the way, another joke of a day driving in here. Nobody's here except us.
There's no one in this building right now. But
even
we're
the
here.
Quizmaster, I guess
he's at home?
He's a Good Friday guy, I guess, the Quizmaster.
Oh, he's not
really?
Working today.
No. No.
Superiors that I noticed weren't kicking around today.
Yeah, you wouldn't
really.
Yes.
You wouldn't challenge
that. Is one's
that.
Name Jeff?
I cannot
Not
confirm
Jeff
or deny.
O'Neil?
You're in
Don't
here.
Ever say that to me.
Confirm or deny?
Yeah.
All right, well, we're in here. It's
I
all
go
good.
Up to him and we'll see Fergie in the dressing room. I'll be like, hey, Fergie, how are you? I can't confirm or deny how I'm feeling today.
You wouldn't say that.
I'm telling you, the guy's an idiot.
Well, that's fine. Anyway, Leanne tweeting in saying, settle down, boys. It's only one. They're only down 1-0.
We get it, Leanne. We have to talk about it, though.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
We're passionate about it, too. It's the best part about this.
They're in. They're in.
Exactly.
And you know what the truth is? Like 95% of their games, it was thoroughly entertaining again.
And
that's what they play, is thoroughly entertaining hockey.
You mentioned that they're in. Could you imagine if we're in here and they've got their U-Hauls and have had their...
I know.
Like, it's so much more exciting.
We're breaking down the Preds 1-0 win over the Hawks or...
Yeah.
Whatever.
I would refuse to do a post-game hit on that game. That. I'd be like, okay, this guy scored the goal, and then that's it.
Although Pekka Rinne was very good last
night.
Well,
you could do the highlights of him, and then I'm done.
A goalie making big stops?
Yeah.
What a surprise. Ray Ferraro will join us just after 5. Richard Griffin from the Star again. Josh Donaldson on the DL. They're 1-8 out of the gate.
We got a guy who's going to crush our team's dreams.
And might be the bringer of rain.
That's right.
Not his fault, but DL stints are DL stints. Masai Ujiri on the show just after 6 as well. Game 1 tomorrow afternoon.
And Steph better order some dinner.
Yeah, we got to get some
half
food.
Half chicken, mashed corn.
If we're in here, it's Feedback Friday.
Rogies too.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, so the Jays are 1-8. The Leafs are down 1-0. But the Raptors kick off their series against Milwaukee tomorrow. And Masai Ujiri will join us just after 6 p.m. We've got Ray Ferraro coming up, Bob McKenzie coming up. We're in here on a holiday Friday.
Everyone's working.
Everyone's working. We wouldn't miss it anyway.
Apparently our fearless boss is out patrolling the roads to make sure people are out there.
That's my understanding. Just making sure that people are tuning into the show.
And the 401 is jammed, apparently.
There's actually a lot more traffic out there than I thought. So we'll take it, and we wouldn't miss it. I mean, the Leafs are coming off their first playoff game in 4 years.
Is this... This is ignorant of me to say, but is this a countrywide holiday, or is this more of a, because it is a religious holiday, but not everyone falls in that religion?
It's a countrywide holiday. So if you're not Christian, I guess you enjoy it, do your thing.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
You know where I stand on that. I'll take a vacation whenever I can get it.
Well, it was supposed to be, now we can't have this. Remember, thought it was going to be Peeler Friday or something. We can't do that on a Good Friday.
No, I think we have to be a little bit more careful.
Touch more respectful than
that. A bit more sensitive.
Exactly.
But Leafs coming off, again, a 3-2 loss in overtime. And there's a glass half full, glass half empty angle to all of this. But I think, considering what most were expecting going into that game, I mean, all day yesterday and all week, I was referencing that first game in Boston 4 years ago.
Right.
Where they lost 4-1, they got outshot, I think, 40-20. And I remember walking out of that game thinking, this is not good.
It's not good.
This is trouble. I don't have the same feeling today because of the way the Leafs played. The Leafs performed well enough to win last night. It was a coin flip game when all was said and done.
Yes.
A bad goal goes in overtime. The Leafs maybe get lucky down the road and they score a couple of bad goals, or they get a lucky bounce in overtime down the road, and it evens everything out. But as I said earlier, I would absolutely sign off on that 3-2 in overtime over 5-0, and you look so overwhelmed. And now we're sitting in here today saying, uh-oh, the kids, they finally realize they're in the NHL and they're big trouble. You mentioned Matthews did not have his greatest game, but I thought Marner was buzzing. I thought early Nylander was buzzing. Well, Riley played his first playoff game and played great last night. So other kids performed last night.
What happened is, I think in unfairly or fairly, however you want to judge this, the bar has been raised on Matthews. You score 40 goals. It's not like, hey, let's you forget he's 19 sometimes, but because he set the bar so high, you can't. I think the pass isn't handed out as easily, if that makes sense.
For sure. And McDavid's getting the same treatment in Edmonton.
Exactly.
They're expecting him to play a lot better than he did in game one.
Right. And he got an assist, but it's you need to deliver the win. That's just the expectations that have been adjusted because of the play, which is great. It's a good problem to have. The challenge now, and I almost am going to tie this to the game against Columbus. You're up 2-0, and in your mind, and I'm guilty of it too. You're sitting there going, they can win this game. And then you're saying, well, you know what? If they split here and you go home, like you start to get ahead of yourself is the wrong word. But just like against Columbus, people are like, go to Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
You can win that. You're sitting there having them in a 20-minute spell play real well against the top team in the NHL, and they can. And you're sitting there going, they can play with them. So now what's the next step? The expectation gets pushed up. And then when they lose, especially on a goal like that, is it more deflating because you've come so high in the game because it was a coin flip. You're going out for overtime. You're like, it's not going to be Matthews end-to-end. It could be Komarov off a skate or Kadri throws mm-hmm. one. Or you knew it was good. Overtime goals are rarely beauties, right? They're usually a moldy, off-the-skate, cheesy goal.
Right.
And that one was a bad goal. There's no debating that. He needs to make that save on Tom Wilson, which was – I saw the Washington Capitals media in that giving it to Babcock a little bit because I had forgot that he had made a comment like, we're not worried about Tom Wilson. We're worried about Ovi.
Why would he be worried about the guy on the fourth line?
Yeah.
Like, do you think Barry Trotz was worried about Kasperi Kapanen coming into the series?
Although Kapanen had an opportunity down the wall late in the game.
He rifled it high.
Man, he got a shot.
He's got a bullet, and he's got wheels. And you know, the fourth line, and people, of course, are focused on what happened in overtime. Ideally, and it had not happened much during the game, the fourth line was not on with Martin Marincin. The fourth right. line usually was on with Riley and Hunwick. That's yeah. the way they have been playing it all year. Fourth line, top defensive pairing.
Right.
It was not ideal, clearly, to have Marincin on the ice with the fourth line. But Washington's fourth line was out.
Yeah.
And Babcock and Trotz, they are going to play their fourth lines. They're going to trust their yep. fourth lines. That's going to happen. And if you're in overtime, I mean, that could have gone 3-4 overtimes. You have to play your whole bench.
Well, and think of this, though. And I always bring this up from a goaltender's perspective. And I'll say this to you, and I'll bring it to O when it comes back. If you have to give up a shot, don't you give that? That's the shot you give up.
Absolutely.
So I know we've had these arguments about, remember Jonathan Bernier got scored on by Pacioretty, first shot of the season, 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was like, what's Dion doing? And, you know, Dion drove him wide. And, oh, he looked slow, and he didn't turn this way. And I remember thinking, like, you give the shot up from the goal line, the goalie needs to make that save.
Well, and that's the truth. And that's what I was talking about earlier, comparing Anderson to Holtby. Anderson made more 10 Bell saves than Holtby did.
Right.
Holtby, I thought he was locked in.
He's a stellar goalie.
He's a very good goalie, and that's a tough matchup for Anderson to try to overcome if you consider it one-on-one, which it's
right.
not really the case, but in reality, people are going to focus on both positions and connect them.
Right.
But Holtby, by making those 35 stops and making them look easy, he allowed a lot of guys on his own team to get off the hook
right.
because you can bank on it. If the Leafs won that game last night, people in D.C. would have been all over Ovechkin and Backstrom because
right.
they did nothing
they
last
didn't.
Night. They did nothing. They got a free game to just ease their way into the playoffs, and their team still won. And on the OT winner, you're breaking down Marincin. You're breaking down the fourth line. You're breaking down all these different things. Riley letting his guy go, whatever.
Right.
But it's a situation, if it went the opposite way and there was a bad bounce that went in on Holtby, we'd be sitting here today saying, oh, I can't believe Alsner didn't extend his stick on
right,
that play.
Right.
What I'm saying is whoever loses, you always look at all the negatives that happen throughout the game. Whoever wins, it's just whitewashed and you're gone. It's like, who cares? Leave
well,
it alone.
Ovi got a pass. Ovi Backstrom and the crew who didn't play well for them last night got a pass. They got off the hook. When I do color, I always go back three plays. So how did the goal go in? Well, first and foremost, Anderson allows a bad goal. Short side. He's down early. I don't know if he tracks it late or what. If it surprises him or whatever. That's on him. How does it get into Wilson's hands? Marincin chips it off the glass. Does he do it hard enough? I don't know. Maybe he's just trying to get into the neutral zone. 9 out of 10 times that gets by Wilson.
Well, and furthermore, Noodles, to your point, and some people are like, you got to smoke that. Okay, then he ices the puck,
right,
and then you're still
and
in
then
trouble.
And you're trapped in your own zone. So that wasn't the worst play I've ever seen in the world. A lot of players would do that. I think people look at Marincin and say, he's a soft player, he didn't want to get hit, he didn't want to absorb a play, he didn't have the poise to make a better play.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the one thing I did notice about Washington's D. They're very poised with the puck.
That's a very good defense core.
Like, they make these little stop-back plays all the time. If they've got nothing going advancing, they'll go side to side, they'll have a little look-off play, and they'll regroup.
It was really noticeable in the third, their transition game. It was way too easy.
Yeah.
Now, you have to give them credit because they made it look too easy, but I think the Leafs stopped forechecking.
Yeah,
they stopped.
The Leafs were trying to defend a little bit instead of. I felt in the first period, the Leafs dictated the pace, and that got everyone off kilter. That got the defensemen in Washington, who like to make those stop back plays. Orlov, who likes to look people off, all of a sudden you're not looking people off because you got somebody in your face that's finishing a check. So there was a lot of things that the Leafs did real well early on that I think surprised the Caps, and the Caps are like, oh, hold on here. We've got to try and adjust. Mm-hmm. And then as the game went on, I think the Leafs tried to play a little bit more of a safer game instead of Babcock saying, like, unleash it. Like, just go. Like, play with that pace. Play with that type of, not reckless abandon, but have that loose.
Be aggressive. Exactly,
that aggressiveness to force the play into your hands. And that's probably something that of an adjustment that he'll show on video and say, for example, not to Marincin, but somebody like Polak. Hey, there was a play where Polak iced the puck last night where Owen and I were talking. That was a direct pass if he would have had a little bit more poise in his game. But I don't want to say panic, but if that was Shattenkirk or Carlson or somebody like that was on the other side, they would have made a direct pass off the play instead of Polak kind of just wired it off the glass and they iced it. And those are the types of plays where you show a player and you say, you got a half second more to make a play there. And that's something that you're hoping that these guys will adjust going into game two, which will make them that much better.
You have to believe Babcock. You know he's going to be on top of that.
Oh,
and
for sure.
Again, they were prepared to play last night. That is something that is a big positive. They did not look overwhelmed at any point in the game. So that is something to take out of the game tonight, going into the game tomorrow. And you're only down 1-0. It's not the end of the world. There's eight teams are down 1-0.
Right.
That's the way it works. I've been talking about MyPillow for weeks.
Yes, you have.
As you know.
Did you sleep well last night?
Surprisingly, I slept very well.
Really?
I fell asleep. I reluctantly bring this up. Before the end of the Flames-Ducks game,
really?
I was watching it, and then I passed out. But there was also a part of me that was thinking, it's Calgary and Anaheim. They're not going to win this game. And sure enough, they did, and they drop it 3-2. 28 games in a row at the Duck Pond where they have not won. But the pillow got me my sleep.
Really?
I shut the mill. I felt good this morning. Went for a bit of a walk. We'll get to a couching to 10K later in the afternoon. The phone number is 1-800-951-6854. The website is MyPillow.com. Use the promo code Hayes, and you'll get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows. Again, the phone number is 1-800-951-6854. The website is MyPillow.com. The promo code is Hayes. Do not lose another night's good sleep.
And now it's time for the 40-30 low center of gravity grit player of the game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
All right, grit grinder, looking back on the Leaf game last night. Who do you have, Noodles?
I want to go with Komarov because I thought he was gray area Komarov, which wanted. I thought Mitch Marner had some jam. He was a water bug, scored the goal on a second effort. I love that. But it was more about him getting involved. He had a physical battle on the back door. I can't remember who it was with. And they were jousting. And he was out. Physically, he was outmatched because the guy was bigger. But he didn't back down. And they had a highlight of it. It'll come to me. But I thought he had lots of jam and didn't look intimidated one bit.
I'm going to put the top four defensemen in.
Sure.
For my grit grinders. I thought Riley, Gardner, Hunwick, and Pollock all played really well last night.
Yeah, they did.
And I believe Riley and Gardner can continue to play at that pace. Hunwick and Pollock, it's a bit more concerning. Can they replicate that
right.
The next 3, 4, 5 games if need be? You're asking a lot because they are what they are. They're third pairing guys. But they played top 4 minutes, and I thought they played well last night.
Yeah,
and
they did.
That's all you can ask for, right? Zaitsev, again, big news today. We haven't mentioned it. He's not playing tomorrow night. And I'm not convinced he's going to play again this whole series.
It didn't surprise me, put it that way, when that news came out.
Right. They don't have to acknowledge what the injury is, but most people are playing amateur doctor here, and they're thinking it's a concussion.
It looks like a concussion.
This hour of Mail It In Friday is brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer. Just like Canada, Old Tomorrow Canadian Pale Ale is feisty but polite. You're awesome, Canada. So is our beer. Ray Ferraro will join us. We'll tee up the games tonight, get his take on the Leaf game last night. And Richard Griffin from the Star. Jays are 1-8, and Donaldson is on the DL. It is ugly for the Blue Jays right now. Hour two up next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app.